a show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right, Professor Plum and perhaps, Johnny Dean. We are teaming up with the Brain Trust to provide you with more of the best in money information, doing this what we do every single day on this program. And we're happy to have you with us once again. We got the details coming up here on Bucket Strategy Investing. We're going to start with the advice. Professor Rick Plum, a certified financial planner, back again for another hour, answering your emails and your phone calls. We're going to start off with a little discussion on something that that came up last in an email from last hour, which had to do with guaranteed rates of return and how certain things, marketing materials, I'll say, are promising some outlandish rates of return. I can't name any specific product right now, but there are those that have said, say, for example, 8% return. Even if you saw something like 6% return, 5 or 6, in today's interest rate environment, that's probably going to pique your interest, right? It's going to get some attention from you. And you're at least going to probably click on it or call them for more information. Well, what is that all about? Where are they getting these figures from? And what does that mean? Well, we'll tell you about this. Things you need to look out for. It's all part of wealth education that we do on this program. Now, we take your phone calls. That's why we're here. You can call us right now with any money questions that you have. Your chance to call in is right now, as a matter of fact. The phone lines are open. Phone number is this, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Spells out PLANNER. Your money questions do come first before anything else, so if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to you in just a couple of moments. Now, you can send your emails here to us at wealtheds.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheds.com. That's at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. I believe we're your source for the best in money information, and we do it right here on this program every day. And you can check us out, too, at our website right there at wealtheds.com. So, get things going right now. We're joined at the desk again by Professor Rick Plum. If you want a personalized bucket strategy, you can call the professor or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, the Brain Trust, of course, 800-644-1150. They'll set you up with your own buckets strategy. You need to find out if you're on the right track to retire whenever you want to. That's a goal, right? With enough cash, enough retirement savings so that they can help you get through the rest of your life. How can you be sure that your financial plan is going to get you from here to there? Well, you give us a call right here, and we'll tell you what you need to know. Again, off air, 800-644-1150. Our number in the studio, on the air, that's the important one. You can give us a call. We do have lines open right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So we talked last hour a little bit, Professor Plum, about guarantees. We had an emailer asking us about where they can find a guaranteed 4% rate of return. Now, it's not so much, Professor, the guarantee, because if you're willing to wait,
if you want to, you know, give yourself a really, really, really long time, you can buy bonds, long-term bonds that pay 4%, even high-quality bonds that pay 4%.
Yes. Now, I've seen, it's really in relationship to where interest rates are right now. It's been a while. I haven't seen the 8% guaranteed
solution.
That was a good one.
I've seen that one several times.
The 8% solution.
Because I still see it from time to time.
8% seems, I think, just too high for even marketing people to, you know, get you to believe. But even so, I've seen signs in grocery stores. You know how they have banks in grocery stores sometimes?
Right.
And you'll see it. You'll see in this big thing, 5%.
Right. Then that's
6%.
Not illegal. I mean, and you are going to earn 5% on their fixed annuity, maybe 6% on their fixed annuity. There's a local automobile place that we go to.
That's exactly the place where I used to see it. And a gigantic sign. It's one of these clubs that you belong to, these auto-type clubs.
and they sell fixed annuities, and the fixed annuity will say 4%, 5%, whatever it is. And that is a true statement. You will earn 4%, 5% for 1 year. That's your one-year rate. Typically, when you see that, you have to understand what you're getting into. You have to understand the surrender period. Many of these have a base rate of 1%, 1.5% or so. So you're going to receive the base rate for the term of the contract, sometimes 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And then in the first year, they're going to bonus you an extra 4.5%. So if my floor rate is 1.5%, and I get a bonus of 4.5, I'm receiving a 6% return the first year.
So I put $100,000 in. You're telling me that my account
at the end of 1 year
now worth
my account value is worth $106,000.
Boy,
but
that
boy,
seems
try
really good.
Getting that 106.
You mean try taking it out and spending
try,
it and
try
saying
say,
thanks very much for my $6,000 guaranteed?
I want to surrender this contract. Please send me my money. You may get $98,000 back or some number because there's a surrender charge on it. There's a surrender period, and whether it's a 5, 6, 7, 8, these are the important issues to know. How long is that guaranteed rate good for? And how long before I can get to my money without any cost mm-hmm. to me? The surrender substantial penalty for early withdrawal, so to speak. And so the reality is if I hold it to the term and I got 6% the first year and 1.5% for the next 10 years, I got about a 2% rate of return over that life of that 10-year contract or whatever it was. So what is my rate of return, my effective rate of return from point A to point B? From putting the money in to getting the money out. When can I at least break even? It may be 2 or 3 years before I can even break even. Now, most fixed annuities, this is not a bash on fixed annuities, this is just, you have to be aware of what you're buying. Most fixed annuities will allow you some access to the money, whether it's interest that you've earned for the year, maybe it's a 10% withdrawal. So it depends on what it is that you can do to get to your money without a surrender charge. Now, my personal opinion, this is purely opinion, is that I like to have a guaranteed rate of return, a stated, if I'm buying a fixed product, I want to look at it one of two ways. I either want the guaranteed interest rate to last all the way up until the point where the surrender charge goes away so that if they then issue me a very poor rate going forward, I can take my money out and get all of it. Or I'm going to look at it as, what is my return based on the worst that the insurance company can do to me? Because guess what's the most likely occurrence, unless we have interest rates growing up? They're going to give me the worst case scenario. So I want to figure out, what is it that if I put in 100 today and I have to wait 7 years to get my money out without a surrender charge, it's going to be 6 the first year and 1.5% for the next 5 years, what is my real effective rate?
In other words, how much money am I going to wind up with?
And if that number is acceptable to me, then the only thing that could potentially be different is good. If I'm willing to accept that number, then I'm good to go. And so look at it as a yield to worst kind of issue. You know, worst case scenario. That's the way to look at these accounts. So either have a fixed rate. So maybe you can get we were looking at some the other day. There was a fixed rate at just shy of 3. And if you wanted to go to a B-rated company, you could get a 3 for, I think it was 5 years. Don't hold me to that.
Each year
they were going to give you 5% or 3%.
3%.
Yeah. So I knew exactly what I was getting. And at the end of the 5-year period of time, I could either withdraw all my money, or at least I had a window of 30 days or something where I could withdraw all my money without any type of surrender charge. And so I know what I'm getting into, and I won't be disappointed because I've made that decision before I put the money in and I couldn't get it back out. So just, they can work very well. You just have to know what you're getting into. Where we saw a lot more of the abuses, though, wasn't necessarily on the fixed annuities. They've gotten away from that pretty much.
Yeah.
It's on the indexes with these guaranteed lifetime income riders where they guarantee some hypothetical payout or not. The payout's not the issue. It's the roll-up that they change into a rate of return that you supposedly might be, or they make you feel, even though they don't say it, that you're earning it on your cash value, which isn't the truth.
Right. They'll tell you, first of all, you need to know the difference between what a roll-up rate is and what the actual rate of return is. It is not the same thing.
No, a roll-up rate of return isn't cash in your pocket. It's not real.
No. There is a number that goes up.
It's important.
Of course. So, I mean, you could say, 10% over, 10 years, let's say.
I've seen those.
Right. So you have, I put $100,000, so what, 10 years later, it's now worth $200,000? Well, no, that 200,000 number is now
it's a number.
A base.
It's used to calculate how much you can withdraw from your cash value account.
So maybe 5% is what we're going to give you. And so on that $200,000, we're going to be able to give you, $10,000.
And it's going to come from your cash value. But if your cash value ever goes to zero, we, the insurance company, will guarantee you continue to receive that $10,000.
And that, after, when you start getting into the insurance company's money, that's where your real rate of return can start to build. And
but,
you need
but
to.
But it's not ever going to be 8% unless you live to be 174 years old.
Well, you're being, we don't actually know what the actual age is. Don't hold me to that 174. We don't know. All right, well, 175. All right, now we've got to take a break. We've got some folks on hold. Don't go away. I want to talk about 401ks. In fact, we had a call. I'll tell you what, Ted and Mesa, I'm going to put you up next. So hold on. Don't go away. We're going to talk to you next about cashing in a 401k. This is a perfect topic for us to roll into another email that we got as well. So don't go away. Others, stick around. We got some folks on hold. We're going to talk to everybody if you're on hold, so stick around. 877-PLANNER. We still have two lines open, so grab them while you can, because we got the Brain Trust standing by to answer your questions. We'll be doing all of this when we come back in just a couple of moments. 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, talking to you about your money on Bucket Strategy Investing. Lots to talk about today, and your phone calls come first, of course. Once again, 877-PLANNER. If you're on hold, we will get to everybody. 877-752-6637. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of these quote-unquote guaranteed rates of return and how these things really work. We'll get into some of the details in just a little bit, but I do want to take more of your phone calls at 877-PLANNER. All right, I said Ted is up next in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Ted.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
How can we help you today?
Okay. Me and my wife are both 60 years old. We have we're 28 years into a 30-year mortgage. Or we're 2 years into the mortgage. It's $200,000. She wants to cash in her 401k to pay it off, and I'm not sure about it.
How much is in her 401k?
She has about $200,000. I have $300,000. Okay. We're both going to work probably another 10 years.
So making the payment is not a big issue right now, as long as you're both working, right?
No, we were thinking of refinancing to a 15-year, and then she's just like, well, let's just pay it off.
Well, how much do the two of you make right now, household income?
We're both close to six figures each.
So you're in the high 100s. You've got, probably a 30%. So if you want 200 points, are you feeling good about taking $300,000 out of the IRA? Her 401k by itself won't do it. So you're going to have to take all of her $200,000 and then another $100,000 from yours.
No. We owe $200,000 on the house.
I understand that. But if you take $200,000 out, you're going to owe $60,000 in taxes. So you only have $140,000 that you can use to pay off the mortgage. To get the full $200,000 to pay off the mortgage, net of taxes, you're going to have to pull out close to $300,000. This sound okay so far?
No, I don't like that idea. No, okay.
No, it's not a good idea. That's what I was trying to drive home. And the so the idea that you can afford to make. Now, what's the current interest rate?
We're at a 4.45, and we're looking at refinancing to 2.5.
Okay, whether you go to 15 or go to a 30, that's up to you. I kind of like the 30 because it gives me some flexibility, but I think refinancing makes a ton of sense. I think that getting that interest rate down from where you're at now makes a lot of sense. But one of the things I mentioned at the very beginning, you said you were going to work for another 10 years, so making the payment is not an issue right now. You can afford to make the payment out of cash flow and maintain the interest deduction, and you can try to pay it down other ways without incurring this massive tax on this $200,000. And that way, when you get out 10 years from now, you've got a much lower balance. When it becomes an issue to make the payment from some source other than your ongoing work, you're going to owe like $80,000 instead of $200,000. You're going to be able to say, at that point, I can take out $100,000 and pay off my mortgage, $120,000 maybe, $110,000, and pay off my mortgage, and still have $600,000 left in the 401k or more. So I'll still be able to retire, not have a payment, and do everything else. And it's a lot more efficient use of the money than basically taking more than half of your portfolio today to get rid of a payment that's not a problem right now. The interest rate is the problem, and then not have it growing for you for retirement. Now, I just think that you're going to be better off not paying it off that way. Sure, if you want
so
to pay it.
You're saying that the tax on the $200 is 30%?
Well, since you're already making $150,000+ taxable income, any money that comes out of the 401k is going to have a 28% income tax bracket. You live in a state with a 4.5% state income tax bracket. So you're at 32.5% of taxation on that money. So for every 100 you get, you owe about 32.5 in taxes.
And okay, so, I gotcha.
And so you've got to come up with the taxes too. And unless you want to take it out of your pocket. Now, if you say, well, I can afford to pay the taxes out of my pocket, I got money in cash, then just use that cash to pay down the mortgage. Don't take it out of the 401k and get a much lower balance. Continue to pay it at the rate you're going. The cash flow is not the issue today. You can afford to make the payment. The cash flow will be an issue 10 years from now when you retire, but by that time, the balance will be a lot less. Your income tax bracket will be a lot less. You'll be able to pay it off with a balance of, from a 401k that has grown for 10 years, that you've been contributing to for 10 years. It will make a much more efficient use of money to do it that way than to take a more than 50% of your portfolio to pay it off today.
Okay, I'm sold. Appreciate it.
Okay, Ted, thank you for the call. I'm glad you called.
Well, now I just have to convince Ted's wife.
Well, that was brilliant.
Well, thank you.
Really? I mean, usually I'm being sarcastic, you know.
Oh, thank you.
That was brilliant. No, on your part, that's perfect. And we should probably explain for people that are, you know, maybe only half listening or just tuned in what Ted was looking to do.
Well,
and
Ted's wife was looking to do. Ted wasn't excited about it.
Okay, right. And maybe Ted had sort of the same, you know, hunch that
you
had.
He didn't like the idea, but maybe he didn't have
the
idea of why he didn't like it.
Exactly, which is a great reason to call, which is why you should call, which made that call even more brilliant than it was, than I said.
But taking $200,000 out of a 401k, it's not, now that they're 60, there's no penalty, that's true. But just taking $200,000 out of a 401k on top of close to $200,000 of other income is a very taxing experience. And it's not just the $200,000 to pay off the mortgage. Where are we going to get the taxes? And at that rate, he's in basically a 28% federal income tax bracket, and the state that he lives in tax on another 4.5. So you're talking about almost a third in income taxes for every dollar that you pull out of the pie. That's a huge chunk of money. And so it's a much more efficient use. Now, if, and we go back to cash flow, part of it, I do believe it deals with cash flow. Was the payment a problem? They're both working. They're both making very good money. So the payment on a $200,000 mortgage was not crimping their lifestyle. Their payment was fairly reasonable. And so it wasn't a fact that cash flow was the item. Now, when they get to retirement and they have their Social Security and they have a distribution from their portfolio, now cash flow becomes a bigger issue. So what is the problem we're having? Right now we're having an emotional problem of having debt. And the interest rate was too high, in my opinion.
A little too high, yeah.
So assuming they can refinance, and they were looking at it, going from a 4.5% interest rate down to a 3.5 or a high 2s if they go to the 15-year, that's a huge saving in itself. And if they continue to make the payment based on the 4.5 rate, they'll probably have it paid off much quicker. But it sounds like they can have this pretty close to paid off when they retire without incurring that nasty, nasty tax that they would incur by taking $200,000+. They take $300,000 out of their portfolio, $250,000 out of their 401k portfolio, and some of it's not going to be in the 28% bracket. It's going to be in the 33% federal plus another 4 state.
Yeah.
It gets up there.
And as you said, this is the other point too. Taking it out means that it's not growing anymore.
Right.
For retirement. So even if they said they're going to work another 10 years or so. So that's 10 years. Sure, they'll be putting more money in as they go along. But that, you know, the compounding of that $200,000, $300,000 really.
Yes, $285,000 is what I came up with.
Okay, yeah. Well,
so somebody's going to say, but yeah, but it's not really that high because the state taxes that you pay are deductible against the federal taxes.
Oh, who
taxes.
Would say that? What's
yeah,
the
but
difference?
The AMT is going to wipe that out, so take that.
Wow, my brilliant comment, really, that you took that to heart, didn't you? Excellent
attitude.
Stuff. Absolutely, it is all about attitude. Boy, this is great stuff, folks. Keep it up. Give us a call. 877-PLANNER. The best advice you're going to get in the next half hour continues when we come back. Hey, good stuff. Great songs, great music, great advice, and the best money advice show in the world. How's that? Can I say that? I guess I did. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number. Talking to you about your money, planning, strategy, and that's what this is all about. We'll be doing so until the top of the hour, so get your calls in now at 877-752-6637. All right, before we get to the next call and the email, I wanted to just one more thing. If you happen to hear the last a call, which was Ted in Mesa, Arizona. He was talking about paying off his mortgage and taking money out of the 401k to pay off the mortgage. I know that there are a lot of people out there who say, listen, I don't care. Your mortgage is, you know, $200,000. That's the biggest expense you're going to have. Why would you ever do anything except work toward paying it off? Okay, well, I think Professor Plum just sort of put the idea that that doesn't always work. That advice certainly doesn't always come true. Now, let me ask you this question, though. If cash flow had been an issue, first of all, what's a payment on principal and interest?
Yeah. $200,000 mortgage. He said he had a $200,000 mortgage at 4.5%. The principal and interest only is a little over $1,000. $1,014 a month.
Okay. Let's say that for whatever reason, cash flow were an issue. They were having, you know, trouble paying that $1,000, whatever it is, per month. Would your answer have been different? Do you then still take out, you know, would you wipe out the wife's 401k?
Probably not in lump sum. I would probably first off try to renegotiate from a 4.5% down to a 3.5%. Percent loan. Now, in that case, I would have done a 30-year to keep the payment low.
Right.
But then I would look at what other income do they have? Do they have just Social Security? Do they have pensions? Is that payment really that difficult to make? And so is there an efficient way? Maybe I can take out $70,000 or $80,000 and pay it down towards the loan this year and stay in the 15% bracket rather than jumping up into the 25% bracket. That's a 10% difference. At 4.5%, that's 2 years' worth of interest on that money. So if I can stay in the 15% bracket, then I can take it and I can start paying that down maybe over 3 or 4 years rather than all in lump sum fashion. So it makes it a little bit more efficient to look at how much can I do without jumping into the next bracket. Now, in his case, they were already in the 25 plus brackets. They were almost in the 28% bracket and higher. And so it was, and the cash flow was not an issue. But with a $1,000 a month payment, I'm not sure that I would have really focused as much on cash flow. Now, some people retire with much more than $1,000 a month.
Well, that's also why it's hard to ask that question on $1,000 a month at that
with
income.
With two
level.
Individuals making $100,000 a year,
yeah.
Their Social Securities, even at age 62 combined, is probably going to be $36,000 a year. And they still had another $500,000 in IRAs. So,
right.
You know, that could probably be, the cash flow really probably wasn't as big of an issue. But even at that level, you may want to, instead of paying it off in lump sum, because if you take 200 grand out, even at that level I just talked about with lower income needs, you're still going to jack your tax bracket into an area where it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Do it over a couple of years, you know, and stay away from those higher tax brackets if you can.
Yeah, anytime you take money out of your
401k in this case.
Right, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's always going to be taxable.
Just and what are you going to pay in taxes? Right now, they're going to pay a lot. Maybe in retirement, their income drops, and they don't need, you know.
Or their taxable income drops.
Their taxable income drops to $60,000, $70,000 a year, which means they've got room to take it out in the 15% bracket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It works.
All right. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Get on board if you have some money questions. We just got a couple of lines open right now, as a matter of fact. 877-752-6637. I didn't want to dwell on that a whole lot, but it was a really good question, and it goes against sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, as I just said, get rid of that debt. Get rid of that mortgage debt as fast as you can. Do whatever you have to do to get rid of it, which in some cases for some people would mean taking money out of their retirement savings. Probably not a great idea, at least not in this case. All right, let's do an email or two. Daryl in Stone Mountain, Georgia. I'm 65 and retired. I draw Social Security and a company pension. These totally support my lifestyle.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
I love that. I have a 401k with my past employer that I want to move to a plan that is less downward trending. Really?
Well, the market hasn't been a friend to a lot of people over the last 12 months.
Well, so Daryl wants to know, is an annuity the safest? There must be something more, and then he suggests bonds, question mark. So, safest, well.
The problem with the term annuity is the term annuity can mean lots of different things. The term annuity can be an income stream, and that income stream, in many respects, is going to be very safe, guaranteed by the insurance company to never change for the rest of your life. Doesn't mean it's going to be a very good earning prospect, but it means that it's going to be very safe from that standpoint. A fixed annuity is a guaranteed account. Doesn't earn a lot, but it's a fixed account. It's guaranteed by the insurance company. So that would be considered safe. They do have surrender charges, so if I need to get to my money and have total liquidity in the next year, that may not be the best place for it. Bonds, those can be safe, but they don't earn a lot of money either. And also, it depends on whether you hold them till maturity. Now, a bond fund, you can't hold till maturity. They're always buying and selling within the fund. But an individual bond, if I bought it today and it's paying me 3% and I hold it until maturity, assuming the company or the country doesn't go out of business, I get my money back, right? So that would be considered safe. What is your definition of safe? Safe that I can't possibly lose a penny? Can't possibly, you know, ever incur a charge that would make it go less than what I put into it? Not even all CDs have that safety. Some CDs, where if you take it out too soon, could actually hit principal. That's unusual, but I've seen it happen. So what is it that you're trying to accomplish? I understand that you don't like the downward trend that the market has had, you know, over the last 12 months. So let's talk about. But you are in a very blessed situation. You have all of your income needs covered by your Social Security and your pension. You can take this extra money and be as conservative or as aggressive as you want to be, because it doesn't impact your lifestyle. If you make a lot of money with it, doesn't change anything in your life, other than it may give you some headaches because now you got to figure out what to do with this money, required minimum distributions. If you lose a lot of money, it's not going to affect your lifestyle. You've got everything covered. If you don't earn anything on it because it's in super safe accounts, doesn't affect you. You can sleep really well at night knowing that you've got this money, and if you ever need to, you can tap into it whenever you want to. So let's talk about what is going to happen. What is this money for? Is it money you want to save for your long-term care needs, maybe? Well, if that's the case, then you probably want to buy some insurance. How you go about doing it depends on whether you can even qualify for it at this point. Is it for your kids? Is it for your heirs? Is it for, you know, what is the money going to be used for? And then apply the appropriate types of investments at that point. Can you get investments that have really good rates of return and total safety and liquidity? No, it doesn't happen. Are annuities the best thing in the world for anybody who wants safety? No. Are they the worst thing? No. They can work. Would I put all of your money into one thing? No. I might do a few things. Something with very high liquidity, very high safety. Something that has less liquidity, but either safe, guaranteed cash value, or near safety in that area, or some kind of protection on it. And some of the money, 20-30% of it, hey, you could put it in stocks. And if it goes down tomorrow, which it probably will because you invested in it today, it doesn't matter because you got 20 years before you look for it. So, but if you don't like those negative numbers, I was on the phone speaking with somebody a week ago. They don't need the money, and they just cannot sleep at night if they see a negative number on their statement. So no matter what the goal of the money is, now luckily for them, they have enough other pensions and Social Security from other sources that they don't need the money in their accounts. They can be super safe with it, and that's all that matters. And so yeah, the only thing they're looking for is rate of return.
Yeah, and if you're looking for rate of return and you're not going to touch the money, you might as well put, you can put the whole thing into...
And they didn't put the whole thing into one thing. They put some money into an emergency fund, more than maybe you or I would, but made them sleep at night really well. They put some of the money into a three-year account so they could get to it in 3 years. They put some of the money into a five-year account and locked it in for 5 years.
But what's important was there wasn't going to be any negative numbers associated with that.
Never a negative number on a statement. Now, was it going to be a huge positive number? No. I mean, they were earning between 2 and 3% on the accounts. But that was fine with them because it wasn't a negative.
Well, yeah, and going back into the annuity discussion too, you know, there are people who, and you've said this too, that immediate annuities, you're not a big fan right now just because of the low interest rate environment that we're in right now.
Right, but I mean, they do work for older people. Being 75, 85.
Well, yeah, because the payout's going to be a whole lot. The payout's going to be a whole lot higher because that's what they base it on. But I mean, for somebody who's in their 60s, 65, it's not a great rate of return. And
unless you live a really, really long time,
right? Which you'd have to do a really long time because interest rates are so low. But there may be people who say, "I don't really care about that."
I've talked to people like that.
Sure.
The only thing that matters is the guaranteed income.
Right.
And I don't care the rate of return. I don't care that it takes me 20 years to get my money back. I plan on living more than 20 years, not the point. Care about the income. That's what I want.
Right.
Okay.
And if that's the case, that could be the perfect thing for you.
Yes. The idea, they want that budget, they want that income, and nothing else matters. That's a great investment.
Right. So, hey, listen, once again, they're all tools. Depends on what you want to use it for. What are your goals? 877-PLANNER. Trivia and more when we... Guess who?
Who?
The Brain Trust. All right. 877-PLANNER.
Johnny, you've been waiting to do that.
What, guess who?
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't been waiting. I didn't know we were going to play this is like part two of the song, right? You know? New Mother Nature taking over. The Brain Trust taking over here. 877-PLANNER. If you've got a money question, you give us a call right now. And we only got a few minutes left. We'll also take a couple of your emails. Coming up on this program tomorrow, we're going to be discussing, the buckets. You know, this program is called Bucket Strategy Investing. And we were just talking about interest rates and guaranteed interest rates and all that. This is actually a wonderful part two to what we were just saying, because tomorrow it'll be bucket one in a low interest rate environment. Now, bucket one is you when you were explaining what you would do with
Daryl.
Yeah, thank you. The name just went out of my head.
My other brother, Daryl.
Yeah, exactly. You actually did a bucketized. You bucketized what was left over.
In essence, yes. Now, even though we were...
Safety, medium safety, and long-term.
But then with the caller I was talking about, I kind of bucketized them too.
Yes,
you did. Just
all
on a short-term side.
Yes, exactly. So here's the challenge, though. When you have a low interest rate environment like this, you need to have some safe money put aside. But what are you going to do? Are you going to put 7 years, 7 to 8 years, call it 7 years, in what? Cash? In a money market? Are you going to let it sit there and do nothing? Well...
0.0%?
I mean, I guess you could, but that's really not going to necessarily give you the flexibility that you need over the course of 7 years. So there are ways to tweak it a little bit.
Well, it'll definitely give you the flexibility. It just won't give you any return on the money for 7 years.
Well, that's what I mean. And if somehow prices do start to rise a little bit or something, you're kind of stuck with what you've got. And it's not necessarily there are ways to take what we're going to call it bucketizing the bucket, I guess, right?
Well, yes, within. When we talk about bucket strategy investing, we're talking about a broad-based investment allocation based on need, distribution need,
yes,
over broad categories. But then within each of those broad category buckets, you can also bucketize within the bucket. And it's a matter of almost like staggering or laddering, mm-hmm, within the discipline of each potential bucket, knowing that although bucket number one needs to last for 7 years, some of the money I don't need for 6 years. So I don't have to be as liquid on money I need 6 years from now as I need to be with money I need 1 year from now. And we can get a better potential rate of return on that.
Right. And so that's kind of the gist of what we're going to be talking about on this program in the first hour tomorrow. So stick around for that. Be here for that. You don't have to stick around. You can go away and come back. And then tomorrow, tune into the program and hear and watch us talk about that. Fascinating stuff. It's all about strategy. It's all about planning, which is what we do on this program. That'll be coming up tomorrow. All right, 877-PLANNER. Some trivia before we get to the next call and email. A trivia from today, for today, comes to us from FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, and NOLHGA, which stands for something. I didn't look it up. Maybe Professor Plum will have that at the end.
Talk slowly.
Okay, well, here's the deal. In the last 10 years, that's 2006 to 2015, in case you didn't know what 10 years was, 518 banks have failed right here in the good old USA and have required a bailout from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. Over the same decade, just 17 life insurance companies have failed and were taken over by a state insurance department. That's as slow as I can talk, Mr. Plum.
I'm working on it, but I can't find it.
All right. Well, anyway, that's an interesting stat to me. Over the course of that 518 banks. Now, yes?
National Organization of Life and Health Insurance Guarantee.
Oh, all right.
And Association. Then
the Organization Association?
I don't know.
Okay, well, fine. That's okay. All right. Well, okay,
yes.
That would make sense.
National Organization of Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Associations.
Oh, associations. Okay, because you have an organization that's also an association.
They have several organizations that are creating an association.
That's what it is. Well, in that case, so only 17 insurance companies. You know, when we talk about annuities and things like that, guarantees being made, what we're talking about is the guarantee that the particular insurance company is going to make, full faith and credit of the insurance company.
So was it 581 or 518?
Well, 518 banks, so 17 life insurance companies.
So depositors within 518 banks had to deal with the FDIC, whereas depositors in a guarantee or a fixed annuity, only 17 depositors had to deal with the state. Now, they probably didn't even deal with the states.
No.
Because most of the time, every time that I've seen it, the insurance guarantee company gets together with all the big insurance companies and say, you guys need to buy out this book of business and continue the guarantee. That's what I've seen happen in the past.
Yeah, and they will do so quite readily.
Yeah, because they want to save face. They don't want to get a black eye for the industry.
No, so, the last thing, which is interesting, again, because of the banks, you know, with the amount of banks that have failed, and the bailouts,
because
everybody
trusts and understands that there's the federal government potentially standing behind it with the FDIC.
Right. Now, with regard to life insurance companies, the company itself is really the one standing behind it. But if they have to, there are certain guarantees, I guess, made by other insurance companies.
Well, it's not explicit, but that's what's happened. There are state guarantees up to certain limits. And over and above that, basically, the insurance companies do not want people to lose money in a guaranteed account. Now, variable annuities, different game. Those are not guaranteed. Those can go up or down based on the investments within it. But a fixed annuity has a guarantee, at least from that insurance company. And the insurance industry does not like to see people lose money in those areas because of mismanagement of somebody else's insurance company. So far, they've all covered it. They've stepped in and covered a bad insurance company.
Yeah, so far. So I should just again say that when we talk about guarantees made by insurance company, there's the actual insurance company itself. I don't know which 17 insurance companies would have failed over the last 10 years. I have to imagine that they were quite small. I mean, some of the big ones, I don't know.
Well, I know that somebody's going to say AIG. AIG, the insurance company,
that was
American
the division.
General, did not have a problem. It was the financial products division of that particular financial services company that had products. But the company AIG actually owned, 16, 17 different insurance companies?
Yes.
And not a single one of them failed. They actually were the ones helping pay back what the government loaned to them and bailed them out of it.
Although it's interesting to note that those credit default swaps that they couldn't pay off on were actually insurance contracts. I mean, not guaranteed by insurance companies.
No, they weren't fixed annuities.
No, they weren't. No, that's what I'm saying.
And they weren't issued by insurance companies.
No, they were not. But it was insurance, so you could just go hog wild with your money. And as it turned out, there wasn't enough.
And hogs went hungry.
That's exactly
the hogs made
happened.
A lot of money.
Well, ultimately, yes. There were people who didn't. All right. We are out of time. We didn't get to all of our emails. So Bob in Cottage Grove, Oregon, I'll try to get to your email tomorrow. We had another Bob in Houston, Texas that sent us two emails, a follow-up and a follow-up. We'll get to those tomorrow. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150. Their off-air number, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.